I'm going to talk to you tonight about grace and faith, and we've been talking about this, and I'm going to keep talking to it about it till I get it so firmly down in me, and you get it in you. It'll change our thinking. I just wish that I had known this when I first got saved. It would have helped me so much, and I got to figure, well, God let me know it when He wanted me to, but I tell you, it would have helped me if I'd known it for years. Anyway, I want to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you tonight, God, that you not let this truth leak out. God, I pray that you replace any type of religion with the Word of God tonight. And Lord, help people to understand what I'm saying to them. And I'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you go to Romans 5, and I usually have Tim put them up here, but somehow my sending it didn't. First, I sent him the wrong ones, and then they didn't get to him at all. So you got a couple of scriptures, but that's all. Romans 5, 1 through 2 says, therefore, being justified by faith. I want you to, if you can see it up there, look at it up there. But otherwise, take your Bible and look at this stuff because it is just so rich. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said peace. We have peace because we're justified. By whom also we have access by faith into the grace. See how we get into the grace? We get into the grace by faith, wherewith we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And in the Amplified it says, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, and declared righteous and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold to and enjoy. Peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him also, we have our access, our entrance, our introduction by faith into this grace or state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. Oh, glory, that is so good. We firmly and safely stand. You don't have to be worried about who you are or where you're going or, eternal life or if you're saved today or not. Bless God, he said we can firmly stand. Hallelujah. We can firmly stand. Firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. So what is this grace all about? It's unmerited, unearned favor. You didn't do anything to get it. Glory to God. It's blessing. It's blessing. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians, it says that God is able to make all grace and favor and earthly blessing abound toward you. Abound. Hallelujah. That means just coming to overtake you. Hallelujah. God is able to do that and will. Unmerited favor, unmerited love, unearned blessings, unearned forgiveness, unmerited power, unmerited ability. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you understand that's what we got? That's what we have in Jesus. Everything you need to live a life that pleases God has been presented to you by the grace of God. You understand that? All you need for every problem, every situation, every provision for your life, it's already been made. It's available. Whatever you're in need of, the provision is already there. It's done already. You say, well, you taught this a couple weeks ago. I know, but I'm hitting it again. Hallelujah. Bless God. Everything where grace is concerned has not only been available to you, but it's been made available to every person on this planet. Everybody. You know, nobody has to put up with lack or sickness or disease or going to hell. See, a lot of people just don't know it. See, it's already been done. All they got to do is receive it. And when we receive it, we receive part of it. We don't get the rest of it. God said we could have all this. Hallelujah. Nobody has to put up with lack or sickness or disease or going to hell. Hallelujah. You know that ought to make you shout. You don't have to go to hell anymore. Hallelujah. Do you see that every provision for mankind has been provided? And in Titus 2:11, that's right after Timothy. Hallelujah. In the Amplified, it says, for the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing has come forward and appeared for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. Now, in the King James, it just says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Are you hearing me? The grace of God, hallelujah, that brings salvation, you get that by faith, It has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. See, it's already been done. You don't have to come back and die for you to get saved. Hallelujah. For the grace of God, that brings healing. You could say that, because salvation means that. For the grace of God that brings provision. For the grace of God that brings deliverance. For the grace of God that brings well-being. For the grace of God that brings eternal life has appeared to all men. Bless God, it's there for us. If the grace is available to all men and brings salvation, then why don't all men receive it? How come all men are not saved? If that grace that brings healing to all men is available, why aren't all, and that brings healing, why aren't all men healed? Why don't all live in abundance? Even though it's been made available to people, you have to enter into it by faith. It takes faith to give you access into all these things. You understand? Hallelujah. You got to go after it with faith. People say, I believe God, but they don't. You know what? They mentally assent, but they don't. A lot of people just don't believe God. Because when you say, you ask them, well, no, that didn't work. Well, the Word of God always works. Hallelujah. Praise God. If I had a closet full of money and I said you could have it, but you didn't have the key to the door, you wouldn't have access, would you? Because you didn't have the key. But if I gave you the key, you'd have access to the money and get that you could get it out of the closet. So likewise, with grace, it's been made available to everybody. God has given us the key, and it's His Word. Hallelujah. But in order to access the closet, we have to know what the key is. And the key is called faith. And you get faith out of the Word. Hallelujah. And you get the grace out of the Word. Without faith, you have no entrance, no admittance. Jesus has provided for us, but we don't know we have access to it. Hallelujah. We don't know how to get a hold of what has already been made available. You say, well, I've been trying. Well, honey, just stick with us. I'm not bringing condemnation on you. If you're having a problem receiving, I'm trying to get you to know who you are so that you can just receive. You know, we want to work it, don't we? We always want to work it. Don't you feel good about yourself when you've prayed for a couple hours? You've read your Bible. I mean, you've read 10 chapters of your Bible. You've even fasted a little. Don't you feel holy? Oh, my goodness, you just feel so good about yourself. But if you blew it that day, you don't feel so good about yourself. Well, it has nothing to do with how you feel. I'm just as righteous on the day I blew it as I am on the day when I did everything right. Because righteousness is a gift, and I got it from God, and He said He'd keep me. Hallelujah, people. This is so good. Hallelujah. Bless God. See, you don't have to get hold of what's already been made available. You don't have to work it up. All you got to do is just receive it. You understand that? Jesus has provided it for us, but we don't know how to access it. My abundance is already available. My healing is already available. Hallelujah. Bless God, whatever we need. See, I taught you this a couple weeks ago, but I want to visit it again. We have to enter into this. He's already done it, but we have to go after it. You know, our only part is just receive. We don't have to pray, God, come and heal me. We don't have to pray, oh, God, come and lay your hand. No, He healed. He healed at Calvary, and we just have to receive it. We need to learn how to access it. And in Romans 5:2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Oh, glory. Look at this. It says, by whom also, that's Jesus, we have access. We have the key. Hallelujah. We have it. Hallelujah. We have access by faith. That's how you get it. Into this grace. Hallelujah. Oh, that unmerited favor. You understand? By Jesus, we can come in. We got the key. We take our faith and we enter into this grace, this unmerited favor wherein we stand. We don't fall, we stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. Hallelujah. We stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In this grace is everything I'll ever need. Hallelujah. Webster's Dictionary, if you look up the word access, it means the ability, the right to approach. It means to enter, to speak with. It means admittance. Hallelujah. What happens when the access has been denied? You cannot get the grace that's available. Unbelief will deny you access. You know, when you don't operate in faith, you'll be denied access. I want to look at this. there's a water tower over not too far from my house. And that tank holds all the water that McChesney Park is, you know, there may be two of them, two or three of them around, but that, you know, for my area, that tank holds the water we need. But you know what? If I'm not hooked up to that tank, I'm not going to have water, am I? Come on, people. It's already there, everything we'll ever need. But if you're not hooked up, and how do you get hooked up? By faith. You get into the grace, and that hooks you up. Are you getting anything out of this? Glory to God. I just went over this and over this to get it down into my spirit. Hallelujah. See, I have a pipe that connects me to that water source. And if I turn on the faucet and there's no water, I can say I got faith all night, but if I'm not connected, I'll have no water. You hear me? Hallelujah. I got faith, I got faith, I got faith. Well, then we got the results. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I'm not talking about full manifestation. But you know what? You can talk to people, and it don't take you long for you to realize whether they've received it or not. See, you may not can see it yet, but if I've received it, I have that peace. I have that grace. Glory to God. I've received it, and I mean, it's as good as there for me. Maybe you can't see it yet, but I will. Hang around and just look. Bless God. Hide and watch. You're going to find out, hallelujah, that it's coming because I received it in my spirit. But you talk to some people, well, I know I'm healed. But you know, as you talk to them, they haven't got that down into their spirit. And I don't mean to make anybody feel bad about that. I'm just telling you, you got to stay in that word until, just like when I got saved, I told you I had no feeling. None. Not a goosebump or a pimple or nothing. I mean, I stayed at that altar so long, they all wanted to go home and have dinner. And I'm still down there trying to get saved. And you know what? I had to receive that. So I got up and said I was saved, but I didn't feel saved. The only way I felt saved is if I stayed in the word. And I saw whosoever, and I'm a whosoever, and that's me. And bless God, I'll take what he says. Hallelujah. So when you get that, I mean, so digest that. And get it so down into your spirit that you believe that, bless God, it doesn't matter. People say, what if you die? What if I do? I'll just go check out my mansion, okay? Hallelujah. Bless God. I'd rather die believing God as die in unbelief, wouldn't you? I'd rather shoot for the moon and miss as not shoot at all. Bless God. I'm not there yet, but at least I've left the station, okay? Hallelujah. Bless God. See, I think that's the problem with the church. We've not been connected. How do I know if I'm connected? Results. Results. Now, you may not have, listen, there's some stuff I've been believing God for 20 years, and they haven't manifested yet, but they're mine, and I'm not backing up, and bless God, I'll hang on till I get it. You know, you understand that? I am not backing up. Devil, you don't win here. I win. Hallelujah. So don't get under condemnation and think I'm saying that you don't have faith or you don't. No. I'm telling you, the healing is for you. And you've got to get it in your head that it is for me. Hallelujah. If anybody's going to get healed, it might as well be me. And bless God, every symptom has to leave me. Hallelujah. Now, it's not up to me to tell God when to manifest this thing, but I got to get it in the spirit. Once I've got it in the spirit, you can't keep me from getting it in the flesh. You understand? Once it's there in my spirit, bless God, I can see it. Hallelujah. There's times sometimes when I can change the sheets in that new bed or whatever. Bless God. You know, I get it so real in my spirit that I know it's mine. Hallelujah. Bless God. Does that make sense to you? See, if I'm connected, I'll have water. Hallelujah. So you have to have a pipe, and that faith is that pipeline to grace. Think about it. The water in my neighborhood is there. It's coming to all the houses. But if I'm thirsty and I still don't have any water, I may not be connected. Did you ever have your phone disconnected or your water? Thank God I never have. But if I did, it didn't mean that the subdivision was out of water. It just mean I hadn't paid my water bill or whatever. Hallelujah. That just means I'm disconnected. See, if you're not getting your needs met, doesn't mean that God doesn't heal or provide for you anymore. Just means you're not connected. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then don't, some people are saying, well, there must be something wrong with me. You know, everybody else is getting their prayers answered. There must be something wrong with me. You know what? When you ask Jesus to come in, he's in there. There ain't nothing wrong with Jesus. There's nothing wrong with the Word. There's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with God. And there's nothing wrong with me. You understand? Because Jesus is in there. You say, are you saying you're perfect? No, not by any means. But in him I am. And see, I don't get my needs met because I perform. I get my needs met because he performed. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Glory. This ought to excite you. Hallelujah. And see, this will set you free if you get it and not get under condemnation. Well, I don't know why I can't get it. Well, you know what? You can. You can. Glory to God. So anyway, we're not leaving here like we came. We have access by the pipeline of faith to all the water of grace we'll ever need. Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. And we're not leaving it. Make up your mind. Bless God. I'm not leaving here like I came. In Jesus' name. There's a song. That'd make a good song, wouldn't it? I think it's already been written. Hallelujah. You don't have to leave here like you came. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, we need to make the adjustment to line up with what God's already done. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's what the Bible says. And people will say to me, oh, you're one of those faith people. Well, are you one of those unbelieving people? What does that mean? Faith people. And they always do that. Faith people. Well, that's not a dirty word. Without faith, you better be a faith person too. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I love that in the message. It says it's possible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because it's not possible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond. Oh, I love that, don't you? He's not only there, but he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. That's wonderful, people. Hallelujah. He cares enough. Do you see that he cares enough to respond to me when I seek him? Then we see that grace enables us to please God. In 2 Peter 1:3, in the Jubilee Bible, it says, as all things that pertain to life and to godliness are given us of his divine power through the knowledge of him that has called us by his glory and virtue. In the New English translation, it says, I pray this because his divine power has bestowed on us everything. Come on. Hallelujah. I tell you, you don't get as excited about the word as I do. Hallelujah. Look at that. I can pray this because his divine power has bestowed on, it's already mine. You see that? It's already mine. On me, everything necessary for life and godliness through the rich knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and excellence. See, we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. Do you hear me? We do. But we get under the burden of our habits and of things that we hate about ourselves. Bless God. Start treating yourself like Jesus in you. You understand? He's in you. Hallelujah. He never will leave you. Glory to God. He's there permanently. He promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Glory to God. When I asked him to come in, he moved in. And he had never left me. In 47 years, he had never left me. Hallelujah. Bless God. He didn't always do it the way I wanted him to. And he never did follow my directions. But bless God. And you know what? He ain't ever early. He had never late either, but he had never let early. I thought, Lord, could you just one time be early? But he's never been late. He's always on time. Praise God. So we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. Now, bless God, if we have everything we need to live that life that pleases him, then bless God, we ought to start acting like it, acting like that we're victorious. You know, if you drag around all the time, bless God, you're going to feel not victorious. But I'm victorious. You understand? I live in victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Now, it says in several places in the Word that it pleases God when I get my prayers answered. You understand? Where did the answer come from? It came from grace. Grace is the power that gives me everything I need to please God. I love that. I never seen that exactly like that before till I was studying it this week. That grace is giving me everything I need to please God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't feel like I please God. It has nothing to do with the way I feel. Hallelujah. God said he gave me the grace for everything I need to please God. Now, am I saying go out and live like a thug? No. When you sin, you open the door to the enemy. But bless God, when I miss the mark, I run to Jesus. I don't run from him. Because I need him. And I can't afford to let the devil get in there and build up stuff between me and God. You know, and open the door not only to me, but to my generations. I'm not having that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it says that it pleases God when we get our answers. Where did the answer come from? It came from grace. Grace is the power that gives us everything we need to please God. I know I repeated myself, but I want you to remember it. Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This said we need grace in order to serve God in a pleasing manner. So what is it that is needed to please God? Grace pleases God. How many of you know that it's impossible to get the grace of God that pleases God, or get the grace that pleases God without faith? Faith pleases God. But it's because of the grace that we get the faith that pleases God. You say, well, you're repeating yourself. Yes. Hallelujah. I know. Are you understanding me? Grace pleases God, and faith is the pipeline that allows you to have the access to what pleases God. It's impossible to please God without faith. If you don't have faith to get the grace, then you're not going to please God. Everything we need is here, but we have to find where it is. In 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, it says, according to his divine power hath he given unto us. Does that sound like it's already been given? According to his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not just godliness. Oh, we thought, yeah, he gives us everything we need for godliness. He gave us everything we needed for life and godliness. Hallelujah. Through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding. I love it. God don't ever just do things halfway. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We've already escaped it. Do you hear me? See, you say, what's this got to do with healing? Everything. Because if you realize who you are and where God has put you, and you realize just exactly what God has done, it's so easy to get healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God. Now I ask you this. What kind of a God would make promises like that and then deny us what he promised? When we don't see results right away, we try and explain it away. I guess God doesn't want me to have that. Maybe God doesn't feel, you know, just doesn't feel like that. And maybe he doesn't, you know, he doesn't feel like healing today. Or maybe it doesn't mean what it's like it sounds. Honey, God is not against you. He is for you. He loves you and he's trying to get the best to you. But we have to stay in the word long enough to get the revelation out of it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Some of that stuff I've read for years, and then all of a sudden I'll read it again, and I'll see something I never saw before. Hallelujah. See, we're short on patience. We want it yesterday. Lord, give me patience and hurry. We want it our way, you know, do it my way. This divine power has given you everything you need to live a life that pleases God. What is this called? This divine power is called grace. You can't talk about power without calling it grace. Great grace, great power. The divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now let's look at what we've looked at so far. Titus tells us that the grace of God teaches us to live godly. The New English Bible tells us that we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. Now think, according as his divine nature has given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Is that true? Here it's called grace, and grace is divine power. Everything you need, divine power, is divine grace. Divine grace is divine power. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Are you getting anything out of this? I tell you what, bless God, just stick with me. Now he's given us the word of God. So by the word of God, we have access into the divine nature. He's told us where the grace is located. You don't have to look for it any longer. Everything we need is contained in these precious promises of God. In the Word of God, it's in there. The healing, the deliverance, the victory, the prosperity, the well-being. All these precious promises are in the Word of God. And God meant what He said. Hallelujah. The healing, the deliverance, the prosperity, the victory. It's all there. Do you see that grace is a finished work? Everything is needed in life. Everything that you'll ever need in life is contained in the Word of God. All that is needed for a godly life is summed up in grace. Oh, hallelujah. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God, not the law. It's the grace. Hallelujah. Grace saved me. Grace will keep me saved. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. I want to prove to you that everything you'll ever need has been provided through the grace of God. So you'll see that all the provision is in the Word. We want to live a godly life and one that pleases the Father, but you cannot get there on your own. We must depend on the grace of God to be pleasing unto God. You understand? He set it up this way, people. I didn't. Hallelujah. I tried living a Christian life. I mean, I tried. I'd miss it before I got to the coffee pot. Hallelujah. You understand? Hallelujah. I mean, I had a bad thought or I'd have done something, you know, I don't practice sin, but I just couldn't seem to get it perfect. And I wanted to live one day, just one day. Lord, that's all I ask, just one day. Let me live one day perfect. I never made it. Hallelujah. So you've got to depend on the grace of God. The grace of God will get me there. Hallelujah. Which sin is going to keep you out of heaven? It's that one of not believing Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless God. You know, he said, you know, people don't have, you don't have a problem with me telling you God, you know, God forgave your past sins. Even God forgave your present sins. But where you have a problem is when I say God forgave your future sins. Well, honey, when Jesus died on the cross, all your sins were future. Think about that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, I don't have to worry about this stuff. Because when he called me, And he called me, he said, you didn't call me, I called you. When he called me, he knew, hallelujah. He knew the front from the back. He knew me inside out. He knew how messed up I was. Hallelujah. But bless God, he called me, so now he's stuck with me. I'm not going to walk away from him, and he said he wouldn't walk away from me. I can't fix myself, so if he don't fix me, I'm just going to run around making a monkey of myself here. You understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't that help you? Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. God's grace is contained in God's Word. Then we take our faith and we get that out of God's Word and we get grace that is also in His Word. Hallelujah. Everything we'll ever need is in there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we must depend on the grace of God to be pleasing unto God. Do you see that? Does that make sense to you? Hallelujah. See, in Acts 14:3, it says, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. His word is his grace. The Message Bible says the two apostles were there a long time, speaking freely, openly, and confidently as they presented the clear evidence of God's gifts. God corroborating their word with miracles and wonders. Hallelujah. Bless God. Acts 20, verse 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Are you down today? Are you depressed? It says here that grace is able to build you up. Hallelujah. Build you up and give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. Do you see that it's this grace that's able to build you up and give you your inheritance? Hallelujah. What's he saying? His word is his grace. The power of God and the grace of God are the same thing. Grace is unmerited power, unmerited love, unmerited favor, and forgiveness. Hallelujah. Now, Hebrews 1, verse 3 said, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Didn't say the power of his word, it said the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, all by himself. He don't need any help. Glory to God. He did it all by himself. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By himself had purged our sins. Purged them. He didn't just pour a little something over them. Bless God, he purged them. I love that. and sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. You could say that he upholds all things by the word of his grace, the word of his power and his grace. His grace and power contained in this word. If you don't know the word, you don't know where the grace of God is. And if you don't know where the grace of God is, you're not going to be able to connect to the pipe of faith in order to get what the grace and power has made available to you. Is this too deep for you? One. The rest of you getting it. You'll have to get this in the word. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is invested in his word. Become a student of God's word. Understand the power of God's word and the power of God's grace that he's invested in his word. All grace is contained within his word, and his word must be believed in order to activate and have access to what has been this free gift that's been made available to us. I just finished reading a small book by John G. Lake. And what impressed me most that was, even though seven of his brothers and sisters died early, when he saw what God had to say about healing, he began to believe for healing, and he saw results. He was not moved by what he saw in the natural. I think I told you last week that his whole family was dying, including his wife, but they got healed when he laid his hands on them because he believed what the Word of God said. Did the Word of God not say you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? That always bothered me when I was in a different church and they taught a different message. And I thought, Lord, I'm a believer. So how come these signs aren't following me? And he said, what are you believing? Well, I was believing when I confessed my sins, he'd forgive me. When I started believing for other things, I started seeing other things. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Come on. Woo, glory. When you start believing that when you lay hands on the sick, that they will recover. When you start believing that when you lay hands on people, they'll speak in other tongues. When you start believing that people get delivered when you tell the demons to come out. Bless God, it'll happen. Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word gets preached and people hear it, but don't profit them if they don't mix it with faith, if they don't believe it. You must mix the word with faith in order to connect to the grace and the power that's in the word. Now listen to me. You can tell me that you believe the Bible from Genesis to maps, but if you don't act on that word and don't act like it's so, and not just mentally assent to it, it won't work for you. You need to get into the word, meditate it until that word pushes out all the unbelief. You know, the Bible says that the word of God is alive and full of power. It's alive and full of power. Ooh, glory to God. That word is alive and full of power. When you take that word, you know, anoint means to rub on, to smear on, you know, hallelujah. Just take that word and just see it being smeared on you. Just, you know, just believe that. I'll listen to those healing CDs, and I'll just hear that, and I'll just envision that going right into my body. I'll see it just going right in, and just going right to, and you know what? It works every time. I mean, it'll take away pain. I remember when I turned my ankle, and it popped. Ooh, it popped loud. We all heard it, and a big knot come on the side of my ankle, and I mean, it hurt like sin. Maybe not that bad, but it hurt. It hurt bad. And anyway, I laid on the couch and put my foot up, and I began to just take that word. I mean, just see it going into that. You know, the Bible says the name of Jesus is above every other name. That at the God hath highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. That means if it's got a name, it's got to bow. Hallelujah. Pain is a name and it has to bow. And I watched that work on that ankle. When I got to the doctor, he said to me, I hope, he said, you better pray. I said, I've been praying. And he x-rayed it and he come back and he said, it's not broke. Well, you know, he was just sure it was, but it wasn't broken. You understand? Hallelujah. That word, glory to God. There's power in that word. And if you put your faith in that, I'm telling you, faith in the name, and just make that thing bow. I've watched, and Bev and I have gone and prayed for people who'd been in such severe pain, and we'd begin to pray, and the pain would leave them. Just because we used the name. We used the blood. We used our weapons. Hallelujah. We enforced what God said we could have. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think that is so wonderful. Hallelujah. That God would save us, call us. Maybe you think you're some big prize he got. Bless God, I know what he got when he got me, but he didn't leave me like that. You understand? He changed me. Hallelujah. He didn't do it all at once. My goodness, it'd probably kill me. I think I told you, Pastor Kevin was talking about taking a little rock and putting your sin on. I told Sherry, I said, you take a boulder from where I was. I'd get a boulder and throw it out there. But I'm going to tell you something. As you take that word and enforce it, and you think about him taking us, and he fixed it. People, he fixed it. He knew you couldn't keep it. So he and God and Jesus walked that covenant, did that covenant for us. Hallelujah. He fixed it for me because he knew I couldn't make it. He knew I couldn't do it. So he did it for me. Now he's trying to get us to accept what he's done, and we're all telling him how unworthy we are. Well, bless God, he knew you were unworthy. But with Jesus, you're not unworthy anymore because he's made you worthy. Hallelujah. He has made you worthy, not in yourself, in him. You understand? In him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you go before the Lord, hallelujah, he don't look at you. He looks at your lamb. Whoa. Whoa. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Romans 5 there, it said we have access or entrance into grace through faith. And then go back to Hebrews 4:3. It says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the earth. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if you shall enter into my rest. That's grace, people. That's grace. I saw that this week. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't have to be worried that I'm not going to make it or that I've done something that has made God mad at me and maybe he isn't going to answer my prayer this time because I've done something or I've thought a bad thought or I've not been kind or whatever. Oh, I'm always kind. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm kidding you. But do you understand that? Just all the first 7 years I was saved, just worried constantly, went back to the altar all the time trying to get saved again. Trying to get my heart right again, you know, because I knew I'd done something that week to get lost. Hallelujah. You know, one week I'm saved, I'm lost, I'm saved, I'm lost. You know what? When I accepted Jesus, he forgave me, and he gave me all the grace I'm ever going to. His mercies are new every morning. Glory to God. He said he gave me the grace I'm going to need to stay in there. Hallelujah. And he said I'm kept by the power. People, we win. Hallelujah. I mean, this is glorious. Hallelujah. And don't ever anybody go out of here and say I'm teaching you to just live like a thug. Listen, I try to live as close to God as I can live. Are you trying to look for a way to live as close to the edge as you can and get away with it? Not me. I don't want to sin. Hallelujah. I've had all the sin I ever want to do. You know what? Bless God. I want to stay as close to God as I can. But as I realize that he has done this for me, then I can quit worrying about what I'm doing and just bless him for what he's done. Hallelujah. And walk in the victory. Glory to God. He said he had given us victory. He said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Abundant living. Abounding. Hallelujah. Bless God. But see, if you give up, you just give up and think, well, what's the use? I can't make it. And I've been there times, people. You know, you thought, my goodness, I never wanted to quit on God, but I wanted to quit on me. You know, I thought, my gracious, Lord, I've been saved all these years. And I used to say that all the time, and I've tried to quit saying that. You know, well, I thought I'd be a whole lot more saved after 40 years of living for God. Well, you know what? I can't get any more saved. You know, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, this probably don't mean to you what it means to me, but if you'd struggle like I did, glory to God, you're so thankful. Son, I'm so glad you got in where he's getting taught some things that he don't have to weed out for years. He got the baptism of the Holy Ghost last week in here. That is so neat. Hallelujah. And you know, when I see young people come in and get taught the word, Pastor Kevin, he's a wonderful teacher. And he teaches us the word. And then it's enforced throughout the week. And bless God, you don't have a bunch of junk to dig out. You know? Hallelujah. I had a bunch of junk to dig out. Hallelujah. And you know what? In verse 6 there, he says, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Hallelujah. Glory to God. And verse 10 says, "For he that is entered into his rest, for he that is entered into the grace, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Well, I don't have to work to get there. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I don't have to fast. I get to fast. I don't have to read my Bible. I get to. Hallelujah. Bless God. You know what? I get drunk all I ever want to. I just don't want to. You know, I do all the drugs I ever want to. I just don't want to. When I got saved, God began to change my want to. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. So he said, verse 11, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest." Oh, come on, people. Let us, the only laboring we have to do is to enter into that grace. Just get into the grace. Hallelujah. The rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Our labor should be a labor of faith. The only way you have entrance into the finished work of God or Jesus is grace. And you have to believe and you have to be a person of faith. Religion has deceived us and made us think we had to work for all this. Now look at what he says about the word. The Amplified, I quoted part of it well ago. It says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word that God speaks..." That's the word, the Bible, "is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing." See, God can go right down into the deepest part of my nature, and he can make me like him, you know, as I begin to. See, the only thing I have to do is stay close to him and let him do the work in me. But as I stay close to him and put that word in, I'm changing. I'm being changed. I'm going from glory to glory. Hallelujah. "Sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." Salvation from death is a finished work. We don't have to go to hell. But it is a part of the grace privilege. Ha, don't you like that? Grace privilege, a part of the rest. John 3:16, and we all know this. I mean, it's at every ball game. every time you ever see a ball game on TV, you see somebody with a sign, "For God so loved the world." John 3:16. People all over the world can quote it, but they haven't accessed the truth from it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe on Jesus, that God sent, you know, that he loved me and sent Jesus to die for me, then he says right here that I will not perish. You shall not perish. You shall. Somebody needs to get a hold of this. He said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him, would not perish." Quit worrying about perishing. You're not gonna. Hallelujah. You have everlasting life. Praise God. Now, in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises," according to some people's conception of slowness. "But he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient towards you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance." He's not willing that any of us should perish. You know what? God gets no joy out of his children suffering disease and poverty. Do you get joy out of seeing these little kids on TV with their little bellies swollen from malnutrition? Neither does God. If it were not so, Jesus wouldn't have taken that terrible beating on him. That's the will of God. All saved and no one going to hell. All healed and no one suffering disease. And having enough and more than enough. Otherwise, why did he come? To give us life and life more abundantly. Now, people, I did not say that no one will go to hell and that nobody will be sick. I said it's not God's will. The reality is not everybody will be saved. But because they won't, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want them to. Hallelujah. Now let me just share this and then I'm done. In Matthew 7:13-14, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and spacious and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many are those that are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure. And the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life. And there's few who find it." Do you know what I think that means? Is the way of the world is broad, you know. But the way to the cross, or the way to heaven and to God is very narrow, because it's only one. Only one name gets you to heaven. See, the world, that broad thing can go through Buddha and Confucius and all this stuff. But the way to get to heaven, the only way to God, is through that one narrow way. Once you get through the gate, it's wide in there. But getting through the gate, it's narrow, because it's only one name that'll get you there. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. I saw that. I thought, praise God. God's trying to get people. He's not trying to keep you out. He's trying to get you in. Whosoever believes in Jesus won't perish. Is this helping you? Do you see how much God loves you? He wants you all to have this. God hadn't hidden any truths from you. He's hidden them for us. See, the devil can't get revelation. He doesn't know everything. God has put nuggets in this bag of seed called the Word of God. And it's just like digging for gold. Do you know what? When you go digging for gold, you might find a few little nuggets on top of the ground. Not worth much. If you're going to get the rich stuff that's worth a lot, you got to dig. You got to get down in there and dig. And it's the same way with the Word of God. That Word of God is rich. I'm getting new truths. I've read that Bible through hundreds of times. I'm telling you, I listen to the Word of God all the time. Keep it going. And I'm still getting, it still thrills me. I never get tired of it. It still thrills me. Hallelujah. So tonight, hallelujah, this is not a fable. It's a truth. And let me just share this with you. The thief on the cross, God said, "This day will you be with me in paradise." That's what Jesus told him. Now, he didn't fast. Did he fast? Did he pray? Read the word? Quote the word? All he said is, "This day remember me." Oh, glory to God. You see how easy it is? You see how easy it is? "This day remember me." Hallelujah. And Jesus told him, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." Hallelujah. Now, it's okay to fast, and it's okay to pray, and it's okay to cry, and it's okay to do what all these other things you want to do. But bless God, all you got to do is just come. Hallelujah. And just accept Him. And then bless God. He gives you eternal life. And you begin to live that the minute you receive Jesus. So why would He hold back healing from you? Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I ask, Lord, that you cause every one of these to get that down in their spirit, God, so that they don't worry. They don't worry, God, about where they're going. God, but they know, Father, that they know that they have eternal life. That's what you said. These things are written that we may know that we have eternal life. So, Father, now I'm going to just pray a prayer for people to accept Jesus. And, God, everybody in here may be saved. But, Lord, we're going to do this. And we're going to drive that stake in the ground today. And from this day forward, everything that's promised in the Word is mine, and we're going after it. So I want you to say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come in my heart and be my Savior. I know I've sinned, and I've walked away from you. But God, I'm coming home, and I thank you for saving me. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I promise to live for you as you enable me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and heal my body in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah."